What's going on, everyone? Joe DeCameron, John Rich. It is 94 WIP. Great to be with you off and rolling this Thursday morning with the Eagles. They've got a new offensive coordinator. Stop the presses. Seems like it happens every year. New play caller. Seems like it happens every year. Let's hope it works out better than Brian Johnson. Let's hope it works out as well as it did with Kellen Moore when they won the Super Bowl. Look, we'll get into it today. A lot to discuss with the Eagles as they make the transition from one to another, both the combine and free agency coming up. Phillies, of course, with spring training. Season starts in about a month. Sixers back at it tonight after what felt like a long All-Star break. Hopefully, they can crank something up, unless you want them to tank, which many people do. We'll talk about it all today at 215-592-9494. Richie Rich.
Joe.
Good morning there, Johnny.
Hello.
Hello.
According to the Bosley Hair Transplant Company, the average person has about 250 hairs per eyebrow.
250 hairs per eyebrow.
But
I would have thought higher.
I agree with you. But there's a stipulation that says those who have never plucked, some brows that have been unplucked for their entire lives could have as many as 1,100 total hairs.
That makes more sense.
Like Anthony Davis and Burt.
Probably like Anthony Davis. And Anthony Davis being like 7'2", that also seems like it would help also because there's just more
surface area.
Surface area.
There is more surface area. Tis true, John. Man. You know what's also true? Pitullo. Yeah, whoever he is. He's the guy now.
I mean, he's been here for 4 years or whatever.
He's one of those, we've always heard his names, but who knows who the heck he is
and just
what he
found out what he looked like yesterday when they put his image on social media.
That's
my point. Right. You know, he's been here 4 years. I've never seen him.
So let's get to it here. We got some really good audio to play for you of both Pitullo talking about what his role has been. Jalen Hurts, when asked prior to Pitullo getting the job, his thoughts about if, you know, Pitullo could get the job.
I didn't think he was an option because of what Jalen said.
Sirianni talking about Pitullo prior to Pitullo. So we're going to get to all that audio, and we'll do it shortly. John Ritchie, your thoughts on the transition yet again.
Yeah.
This will, by the way, be, I believe, the fifth different play caller in what will now be 5 years under Sirianni, which is incredible with Jalen Hurts. John Pitullo is the guy. What do you think? And again, everyone at 215-592-9494. I know it's not the easiest thing to answer because we don't really know. I mean, who knows what this guy really got?
Let's go back to the fact.
But what do you think, John?
Let's go back to the fact that this is a problem that we have a new offensive coordinator every year.
So
this
fundamentally, that bothers
optimal.
You. Yeah. Okay.
And the reason we have this problem is our original plan was we hired Nick Sirianni to call the plays as well as be the head coach, and that changed. And I'm fine with that in that he's awesome at this new role. Clearly, the guys respond to him in this new role. But it really stinks that because he is not a play caller, we have to go find a play caller every year. That is such a major flaw in this plan. This is something that Howie did not foresee. And it is a failure in the system. It is the blemish right now in what we've got to work with. I like that concepts and language stays the same with Kevin Pitullo being the offensive coordinator. I do not like that when Jalen was asked about Kevin Pitullo last week, he basically said, nope, well, he didn't go as far as to say it because I think he sort of cut himself off before going that far. But it was, no, Kevin Pitullo hasn't called plays before. He would be doing something in a different capacity.
It was noticeable the way he answered that question. Before we go further, let's listen to his answer. Let's give everyone a chance to listen to how Jalen Hurts addressed this. This was prior to Pitullo getting the gig. When Hurts was asked about the possibility of Pitullo getting the gig, let's listen to what Jalen Hurts said.
He said continuity, Kevin Pitullo potentially could be a candidate. You know him and work with him. Mm-hmm. How do you feel about that idea?
Yeah. Kevin Pitullo's never been a, he'd have a different role. So it's hard to compare, you know, that role to this role because his job is going to demand something totally different of him. And I have a lot of confidence in him and what he's shown. However, I know, you know, over the years I've learned that's out of my jurisdiction. And so kind of just taking things as they come and trying to go out there and be the best I can be and just learn and evolve.
That answer concern you, John?
Absolutely. I'd like some more background. I do think that the team deserves a lot of benefit of the doubt.
I agree with that.
But why didn't Jalen seem to think that Kevin Petullo was ready? Because he didn't finish the sentences. We kind of are guessing as to what he was going to say. I think it was that he has not been a play caller because he has never been a play caller. And we know that when we've hired in that fashion in the past, it didn't work out the greatest. It was a one-year thing.
Yeah.
Brian Johnson was the childhood friend who couldn't have seemed further from the Jalen Hurts in that during that season in terms of like them being on the same page. They never felt like they were, you know, getting rhythmic with the play calling and everything else. That does matter. That experience as a play caller, the ability to know the quarterback and understand it. Now, who knows? Maybe the Eagles have seen something. They've seen flashes of genius in Kevin Petullo. Maybe it's just so natural that he's so obviously ahead of the schedule, ahead of the curve, that they didn't even have to deliberate this.
So, well,
they didn't interview other people, yeah, which is another thing that sort of sticks in my craw. You've got an opportunity to bring in some outside minds and get some influences in here. I know that we're behind the eight ball a little bit because we're going to the Super Bowl.
They were behind a lot of time.
Time is a problem.
A lot, man. I mean, that is an issue.
But why would you not even try to bring in some outside viewpoints to gather information?
Okay, look, good question. Okay, let me give you my thoughts, and I'm going to address what you just said, John. I certainly want to hear from everyone, 215-592-9494, because what you said is certainly very reasonable. So I want to circle back to something you said about 3 or 4 minutes ago, and it's basically about faith in the organization or trust in them, whatever. So my
they
lean,
deserve
yeah,
benefit of the
doubt is what you say. Yeah, okay. So my lean, right, my lean, not my like, no doubt about it, but my lean right now is trust in Sirianni and Howie in a moment like this. Trust in Sirianni and Howie in a moment like this. That, you know, they've had a very successful track record. Now, let me be very clear. They're not infallible. They have made mistakes. Obviously, the Brian Johnson thing was a fiasco. So, too, by the way, was the Sean Desai thing. So, too, by the way, was the Matt Patricia thing. So, we shouldn't lose sight of the reality that very accomplished people can make some whoppers of some mistakes. In this one, did they? Candidly? You ready for my answer? I don't know. I have no idea. I know this. I would have loved to have an old head guy, and I'm just going to give a name. I'm not saying he's the right guy, like Marty Morningweg, who will never get hired again as a head coach, and say, if we get the right guy like Vic Fangio, mm-hmm, who's never going to get hired, he can be my guy with Sirianni for the next 5 to 10 years. No one's going to poach him. Like that, it's almost like Jeff Stoutland. If Jeff Stoutland was 35 years old, he'd probably be on his way to being a head coach. Mm-hmm. I don't know why no one ever hires him. I mean, I'd hire him as a head coach. No one ever. The guy never even gets a coordinator job. He's just permanent offensive line coach, and that's kind of a beautiful thing. So part of my disappointment is, man, it would have kind of been nice to get a. And I know you're not supposed to put ageism into, you know, hiring practices in America, and that can be illegal. But like, a 60-year-old kind of would have been cool because maybe you want to get poached if the Eagles have another successful season, which, let's be real, Kevin Petullo probably will. Look how many defensive coordinators the 49ers went through over the last 5 years. They had the guy that was the Jets guy. They had D'Amico Ryans. They kept losing him. You know, all right. So what's my point? My point is, number one, I'm not sure if Petullo is the right guy or not. Number two, I wish old guy ideally. Number three, though, I got to lean into a lot of trust on Sirianni and Howie. I think they've earned that. I do, and I am impressed, and we'll play the audio coming up shortly. I am impressed with things Sirianni said about Petullo when speaking about him recently, about what he's brought to the table.
Well,
so, you know,
I wonder, look, T.J. Paganetti being hired away from here by Kellen Moore, T.J. Paganetti, who's been on this staff for a long time as Jeff Stoutland's assistant.
Yeah.
I wonder if him being hired away by Kellen Moore contributed to this hire, because TJ Paganetti is like run game specialist junior. It feels like Kevin Petullo is pass game specialist and they don't want him to go away. They don't want him to be lost to another team the way we just lost TJ Paganetti. It is kind of messed up that this guy has been sort of custom, like he's been brought along by the man himself, Jeff Stoutland.
Yeah.
And now he's the offensive line coach for the Saints. Like, that's not cool to me.
Look, I always wonder.
He's a very talented coach. Yeah. We needed him. I do feel like part of why this OC is the OC is they're trying to throw him a bone because we just lost a really talented coach in TJ Paganetti. It, like, one doesn't necessarily directly have to do with the other.
You don't want to lose both, is the point.
Right.
Yeah.
You're just trying to hold on to talent where you can hold on to talent. He's not even necessarily cut out for this specific job perfectly.
Well, look,
he's talented.
We'll ask you what you think. I know it's a little hard. There's some abstract going on here. I mean, it's impossible to really know. I get that. I know Frank Reich was intriguing to me.
Me too.
Very intriguing to me. Very,
me too. But because you get the old head thing.
You do get
Vic
the old head
Fangio
thing. You do.
I'm not worried Frank Reich with some success here is going to go take off somewhere else.
Right, right. But, you know, I will ask everyone at 215-592-9494, knowing that there's some abstract, knowing that we can't possibly know it all and can't predict the future. I mean, we can't. Do you trust Sirianni and Howie in a moment like this? Now, they just came off a season that's absolutely a trust them. Well, the Eagles certainly broke through. Unfortunately, they're going to have to do it again with a different coordinator. It's pretty amazing. You think about in the 4 years Sirianni's been here, now he's going to enter year five, but it's been play callers have been Sirianni, Steichen, Brian Johnson, Kellen Moore. And during the Steichen, Johnson, and Kellen Moore 3 years, you never really know how much Sirianni got in there, but I'm sure he got in there a bit. I mean, we know he got in there a bit.
In the Super Bowl, we saw it.
We know
he told Kellen Moore to call that play. I mean, flat out,
So this is going to be guy number five in year number five, which is pretty incredible. All right, let's listen to Sirianni, because Nick Sirianni spoke recently on Kevin Petullo. Now, to be clear, this is before Kevin Petullo gets hired. But here's Nick Sirianni recently on Petullo when, you know, he knew the possibility could be that Petullo could get the job. And certainly he did yesterday. Here's Sirianni.
Yeah, very important to the success that we've had. He wears a lot of different hats. Helps me a lot with different things, with head coaching things. I can't tell you that I make a decision without, you know, saying to Kevin first, what do you think? That's in everything. That's in game. That's out of game. That's with scheduling. That's with offensive stuff. You know, that's with game management stuff. And you lean on him a lot. And then Him and Kellen, I mean, they're together at all times, you know, talking through the offensive stuff, and he's kind of that same sounding board for Kellen on the offensive side.
Pretty good endorsement. I mean, I got to say, pretty solid there.
I didn't realize it was like that.
Yeah, that's good work. Let me give you one more, because Sirianni continued on more about the Petullo thing.
Shoot, this is what? How many years? 8 years with Kevin. So, you know, that again, that continuity is really important because he knows what I'm thinking in certain situations, how you want things to be taught, all those different things. So he's just been a great resource, you know, for me the entire time, our success this year, but really our success that we've had since we've been here. Can't be great without the greatness of others, and that completely is definitely a fact with Kevin Petullo, and I trust him with everything. Man, got a ton of trust and faith with him. You know, yeah, he's awesome.
All right. I mean, you heard it. Pretty damn big endorsement. I'll say this. Sirianni might have said, and I don't have all the audio in front of me, he might have said the same thing 2 years ago about Brian Johnson. Like, maybe. But that's what he said about Petullo, and then he got the gig. All right, what do you make of it? Let's go to the phones.
How much more collaborative does the play calling become with Kevin Petullo? That's one of the questions I'd like an answer to. How is this something that they have foreseen? And you know that Howie's always two steps ahead. Is this something that Howie, knowing, you know, when things started getting late with the season, we were going to be good, we were going to be playing long, did they start looking at it and say, hey, this guy's so talented, Do we even need to go outside and interview? I'm hoping, yeah. I'm imagining that that's the way this all transpired, because, of course, that would be the best case scenario.
It would be. Did they really, really believe in him?
Yes.
Yeah, I know.
That it's absolute belief that led to this. It's very possible that it is inconvenience that led to
this. It is possible.
That it's the calendar, the truncation of our calendar because of the Super Bowl that led to this.
James, let me ask you a question. We've had good examples and bad examples of Howie and Nick decision on like literally this type of topic.
This exact thing, yes.
Yeah. Do you trust them right now?
I do. But I get Richie's concerns. The fact that neither of the, I mean, Sirianni's called plays but has not done it well, and the fact that Petullo's never done it is concerning. But it does feel like Petullo's his right-hand guy. Like it felt like this is one of those, what John just said, we're going to lose Kevin Petullo if we don't give him this opportunity.
Yeah.
So it almost feels like, I think their hands were tied. Like, I don't think they really had another option here if they wanted to keep Nick happy.
But I will say this, keeping Kevin Petullo is not priority number one. Priority number one is getting it right.
I agree. So
I mean, it really is.
Yeah, I would hope so.
I agree. Yeah. No, I know. I know.
I think Sirianni and Howie are wise enough to know that. I do. I
do too.
All right, let's get your reaction on the phones. 215-592-9494. Mike in Somerdale. Michael, good morning.
Well, I guess I'm the leadoff hitter. First thing I want to say, you guys did a great job throughout the Super Bowl, even the run itself. I listened every morning.
Thank you.
And, you know, it is the greatness of others, and that's us, the championship fans that we are. If it wasn't for us, man, keeping this team accountable, it wouldn't be where it's at. So that's first and foremost. And, you know, I'm looking at this Petullo thing, and what I've seen right out the gate, and I'm trying to make light of it, is the fact that the team was united when they made the decision. I feel like this decision was made before the season even ended, and that shows me that the team's united. I mean, the decision making. Like, if we would have stretched out looking for different coordinators and interviews, we could have pulled different directions if the GM's going one way or the coach is going the other. But I like the fact that they made a decision. And second to that, like the Brian Johnson thing, you got a 2-year experience, the 15-year experience. The pedigree of Petullo and where he came from has a lot more experience than what they
had.
Well,
pedigree in what regard?
Years in the NFL is the point.
15 and Brian Johnson.
Brian Johnson just came to, he was at Florida prior.
I got you. You're saying NFL, Mike. I got you.
Yeah,
okay.
So NFL experience, the guy has a 15 years experience, and he's been around a lot of coordinators. I mean, he broke bread with a ton of people. So it's a difference. And Brian Johnson, there was a lot that went wrong in that 23 season, not just Brian Johnson.
That's right.
And really, he didn't have a Saquon Barkley either.
That's right also.
I mean, you look at Petullo, not to say that he's not going to do a good job, but he's going to win they're going to win despite of him. I know that we don't want to hear that, but the talent, the offensive line, the receiving core, the running game, the quarterback, like, the team, the guy is surrounded by talent. So, I mean, he doesn't have to do too much.
Yeah, well, yeah, but Mike, here's the one thing I will say, going back to Brian Johnson, you are correct. Brian Johnson did not have Saquon, but he did have almost the entire rest of the offense.
You see what? Did you see Miles Sanders?
Yeah.
Wow.
He's not that good anymore.
Let me make a point with that. Yes, he did. Right,
but 23 was Swift, just to be clear, not Sanders.
Yes.
But it was still AJ. Yeah. It was still Devontae. Right. It was Goddard. Right. It was four out of the five offensive linemen. It was still Hurts. I mean, I think nine of the 11 starters were the exact same. I mean, that's a lot.
I understand that, but they had to outscore teams. They couldn't stop anybody defensively. They were.
I know
easy.
Defense.
And
was a mess.
But no, Mike, the defense was the bigger problem. However, the way the offense completely hit a brick wall late in the year was pretty amazing. Like, don't get me wrong, the defense was far worse. But it was astounding that near the end, it was like that Bucs game, it was like they couldn't even move the ball. It was horrendous. All right,
and they told us that they didn't have answers.
The blitz thing, too. I mean, the whole
incredible thing,
it was across the board. Yeah.
So don't tell me it doesn't matter who your coordinator is, just who your players are.
Remember, Jalen a couple
that.
Times was calling his own plays.
Well, and how about the fact Jalen felt the need to call the at that time, just recently let go defensive coordinator of the Giants to find out how to handle a blitz.
Yeah, that's a great point.
I mean, it's astounding. All right, good morning to you. What a time to be a Philadelphia sports fan. Unless, you know, you count that Sixers and Flyers thing. Sixers back at it tonight. We'll see if they try or not. We'll see if Joel plays or not. I mean, you just never
what
know.
What a sad thing. I'm with you, but what a sad thing to say. We'll see if they try or not. Like,
we'll see
right?
if Joel plays. Yeah. We'll see if Joel tries.
Yeah.
Can you imagine him not?
I know.
After that break, we know that he's struggling physically and all that. After that break, there's really something that needs to be addressed if he's still sitting out.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that, John, and that's probable. And I'll say this. You're right at that fulcrum point of either you're trying to make the playoffs or you're tanking. Because if people don't know, Sixers have a number one pick that isn't their pick unless they finish in the top six of the draft lottery. You know where they are right now, John? Tied for the sixth worst record in basketball.
How unbelievable is that?
You know where they also are? A game and a half out of a top 10 seed, which would be, you know, playoffs, play-in.
Oh, so great.
So I'm just saying, like,
that's as good an argument against the play-in as anything you've ever said. Like, just that they're 1.5 games out of that and this is bad.
All right, so we're going to get to the Sixers a little bit more later on. Let me get to the Phils right now because, of course, Phils are, you know, getting closer to cranking it up. And one of the big decisions is who should be the leadoff hitter. It sounds like there's a pretty good chance they might change it up. I mean, that's just the impression I get. Is it just sounds like they're talking about it more than in past years. So maybe it really will be Trey Turner. Let's listen to Trey. He spoke recently about, you know, the leadoff thing. And I'll say this. My impression is he sounds interested in doing it. Here's Trey Turner recently.
Rob said a couple times this offseason that he's
talking
about leading the walk.
What's
your reaction to that?
Yeah, I like it. I've always hit one or two for the most part of my career. Hit a little three, but one or two early on. And you know, I think it would be fun, be a little different. You know, I've been in that tool for a few years now, but kind of get back to a little bit more speed and have that aspect would be fun.
Do you think you could run more if you're hitting leadoff and Bryce is hitting directly behind you?
Yeah, I've run a lot more. I've said that a lot in my career in general. I could have run a lot more throughout my entire career, but it's more about scoring runs. I don't really care about stealing the base. It's more about scoring the runs. So, you know, I think at times in the last few years, and even when I played in Washington, L.A., there was times where, you know, I could steal base, but I got to stay there to let, you know, those guys hit, and that's part of the game. And definitely could steal more. I'm not going to act like I could steal 70, 80 bases or anything like that, but, you know, there's a handful of times where the opportunity's there, and for a stolen base specifically, but that's not always the, you know, the right play, I guess.
All right, Trey Turner recently. So it leads to not one, not two, but three different Twitter poll questions of the day, what we discussed just in the last 3 or 4 minutes here. Twitter poll questions all brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin has the new 2025 Chevy Trax in stock now, starting at only $21,495. Together, let's drive. See Armin's inventory at ArminChevy.com. So obviously the hiring of Kevin Pitul on the table is a major topic today. And whether you trust Howie and Sirianni in a moment like this to get it right, when sometimes they've got it right, sometimes they've got it wrong. Just won the Super Bowl, but three different other poll questions. The first, who should be the Phillies leadoff hitter? Obviously, there's only three choices. Who should be the Phillies leadoff hitter? We got them in alphabetical order. Schwarber, who it's typically been. Stott, who it occasionally was, but it was very short-lived. Trey Turner, who did it a lot earlier in his career and was ineffective here. Who should be the leadoff hitter? Schwarber, Stott, Turner. Not only can you vote at Sports Radio WIP on Twitter, we'd love to hear from you at 215-592-9494. Let us know what you think. Who it should be. Other two poll questions. Sixers related. Because the Sixers reemerged tonight from a long break with this All-Star break. Do you think the Sixers will make the playoffs? Yes or no? Third poll question. Should the Sixers tank the rest of the season? Yes or no? Now, James, I'm going to come to you for, I need one ruling. And I'm going to start with you, James. Does making the playoffs mean making the play-in game or making the top eight after the play-in game? As you define it, because I define it as you're in the top 10, the regular season is over, and you have this one or two game thing to continue on. I consider being top 10 playoffs. I know some people don't.
I don't.
What is your definition?
No, the top eight. I think you need to win the play-in. If you're 7 or 8, I think you need to win the play. Nine or 10.
Even though baseball had a one and done, and that counted as the playoffs, and this one doesn't?
Yeah.
Because that's a little weird.
It was, but that was also a lot less, even when they had the one and done, it was a lot less percentage of the league making
that's
the playoffs, so to speak.
That's
like,
right.
If we're talking about 20 teams making the playoffs, like, I can't. I agree with you. It's a money grab, and it's not the regular season and whatever.
Yeah.
But to me, the eight teams make the playoffs.
All right, Rhea, from your standpoint, definition of the NBA playoffs, top 10 or top 8?
Sixers going out in the second round.
No, but for the poll purpose, what would you say?
Top eight. Yeah, correct.
John? See, I think they're both wrong, John. The regular season has ended, and my team is still eligible to win the championship. Therefore, I've made the playoffs. How do you define it, John? The playoffs are which? Because I think they Jedi mind tricked America. They said it's a play-in. No, it's not a play-in. You're in the playoffs. It's a playoff game. You just happen to try to advance.
I dislike the play-in concept.
Well, we all do. It's all garbage. I'm just trying to define what the playoffs are.
In the NBA, it's they are too lax. They are too easy. They are
There shouldn't be talent.
A joke. They are an inexact representation of what excellence is supposed to be. I think they got it wrong, and then they got it wrong again, and they compounded wrong repeatedly until we arrived here.
Well, what's our definition? I'm just saying it's almost like that first four in college basketball,
the
tournament.
Do you consider them NCAA tournament?
I do. I'd say they made the tournament. I'd say they got short shrifted by having to go play in Dayton, Ohio. No one watched, and two of them were out right away. But I wouldn't say they didn't make it.
But the tournament is one game always. The NBA playoffs are seven-game series unless, except for this nonsense.
All right, John, I just need a ruling. Play-in, is the playoffs or is not? I'm just asking for our poll purpose because...
I think the play-in is not the playoffs.
Yeah, fair enough. I think most people define it the way you do, but I think that's wrong. Anyway, let's go to the phones, and we'll tell you in a moment how you can win a really cool prize today on the show. 215-592-9494. So the Sixers to tank or not, playoffs or not, the Phillies lead off, who should it be, and obviously the Eagles with Kevin Pitullo. It's a big move. New offensive coordinator, Andy, right now. Andy, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are we doing?
Doing great, Andy.
Holy smokes.
I'm in D.C. this morning, so I'm enjoying a nice splash of Commander's tears mixed in with my usual Giant tears.
I love it.
You also just heard everybody's
that
ear.
Is refreshing. Yeah, well,
all right, some real phone.
We're
going
to put them on hold. That's too much. That's too much. Let's go to Sammy. Sammy, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Super, Sammy.
Good, good. I just wanted to talk about Kevin Pitullo. Yeah. His first-time caller, so a little nervous.
Welcome
please.
Aboard, buddy. Take your time. And,
welcome, and we're really thrilled that you joined us.
Now, Sammy, don't worry about the million people listening. We'll try to tune them out.
Stop.
No, I mean, you never know. It might be 2 million. I don't know.
It's 6:40 in the morning. It's probably
not
2 million.
All right, Sammy, take your time, buddy. It's all good. Just a couple people talking sports. What do you got?
Yeah, I just wanted to talk about the new offensive coordinator hire. I'm not sure if I love it. I don't know. It's 4:40 a.m. here in Utah, so I don't know what the other callers have been saying. But, I'm not sure if I love it. I don't think internal hires have worked for the Eagles, and it makes me really nervous, especially because I think the Eagles can repeat next year.
No, they can. I don't know. Yeah.
So, that's just a thought I had. I'm not sure.
But I need a ruling from Rhea. Rhea Hughes,
yes.
When the Eagles made the internal hire of Rich Kotite when they fired Buddy Ryan. Did it work out?
No, it did not work out.
All right, so what was an example of the Eagles and internal hiring working? Let's figure this out.
Oh, geez. It's hard to think back.
When did it work?
Because Peterson wasn't an internal hire. Chip wasn't.
I mean, Andy's offense coordinators didn't really count. Like they
kind of didn't count. Childress was elevated when Dalhauer was out.
Yeah, so that was like internal, but it's like, you know.
How about Howie Roseman to general manager?
Ah, there you go. No,
how
that's true.
Score one for the Eagles and the hammer! Because he was as low as you get, and he worked his way up. How about
his way
back. All right, Sammy, how about that?
Yeah, that's right. And can I say one final thing before I hang up?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, so, Joe, you know, I might be one of the people in minority where I agree with you 99% of the time. I think you have the best takes.
Good man.
Oh, but Sammy, on, man.
Good man. Preach on, brother.
I know.
Preach on.
But one thing that I love about Richie is that I see a lot of former players do that he doesn't do is he doesn't invalidate a point by saying, like, oh, I played before, so what you're seeing is not really the thing you're seeing. So
I appreciate
Richie,
that. Yeah.
I really love that. I think you guys are awesome, and thanks for having me.
Thank you, Sammy. Kind words to John and kind
calling
words
from
about the
Utah,
show.
No less.
Look
man.
Look at that. You know why? Because John Richie is.
You're John freaking Richie, man.
Damn straight.
Big time, yeah. I appreciate that.
Oh, really good. Yeah.
All right, let's give everyone a chance to win a pair of tickets to see Dave Matthews. How about it? Lawn tickets to see Dave Matthews as he'll be in town this summer coming up with the Summer Tour 2025 in town July 25th at the Freedom Mortgage Pavilion. Tickets go on sale at 10 a.m. on Friday. Obviously, that is tomorrow at 10 a.m. At Ticketmaster.com, but not yet on sale,
ooh,
which means this is pretty cool. You can win.
It's an exclusive right now.
It is. win the tickets before they are available for the general public, as they say. All right, so here's the deal. Here's how you win them today. Give us a notable replacement. Why? Well, obvious reasons. Because Kevin Pitullo is replacing Kellen Moore. Kellen Moore. So sometimes these things work out, sometimes they don't. We're lumping them all together today. The good replacements and the bad replacements to find out what is the most notable replacement, good or bad. By the way, we were trying to figure out before the show, and we're going to just put it all on the table. There's real life stuff like an athlete replacing an athlete, coach replacing a coach, actor replacing an actor. But there's also, within a show, you know, it's actor-actor, but it's also character-character. Like, Kirstie Alley replaced, Diane. Shelley Long, by way of Rebecca Hall and Cheers replacing Diane. So there's a lot of ways you can tackle this here. And there's also announcing replacements. There's talk show host replacements. John Ritchie, when you think of a notable replacement, good or bad, most notable replacement, John Ritchie, what are you thinking?
This is so crazy. Okay. And Jimmy pointed it out to me. Back to the Future. For 6 weeks, the first 6 weeks of filming.
Eric Stoltz.
Yeah. Eric Stoltz. Marty McFly.
Yeah.
Michael J. Fox is a replacement. For a month and a half, Eric Stoltz was running around being
wild.
Michael J. Fox.
Yeah.
And they couldn't stand him, right?
It didn't work. Apparently it just didn't work. They said. Yeah.
Too serious, apparently.
And apparently they always wanted Michael J. Fox because of family ties. Yeah. He couldn't do it at first, and then he was able to do it, and it was one of those things.
That's a great answer. Seltzer, a notable replacement, good or bad?
Mine's bad. Okay. We all remember the Fail Mary, the refs.
Yeah, the refs are a good answer. That was a fiasco. I want to say around 2011. Somewhere
I was going to say
there.
12. It's somewhere in there, yeah.
It was horrendous when they had, replacement refs. All right, Rhea, notable replacement, what do you got?
I'm going to go with a bad one when Ashton Kutcher replaced Charlie Sheen in 2.5 Men. It was a show I really enjoyed. It was fun, and he was nuts, but Ashton Kutcher was just dreadful.
No, I get it. All right, Rhea, do you trust? And so everyone at 215-592-9494, give us a notable replacement. It can be something that really worked out or really didn't. Hit us up. Obviously, Rhea, we're talking about this because Petul is the guy.
Yep.
Do you trust Howie and Sirianni with the roller coaster it's been with some of the decisions on coordinators?
Mm-hmm.
You know what's amazing? They had at the end of 22 to this point in 24, meaning like when they got to February 22 on the field, and they had new coordinators by January of 24. Anyway, they had in 12 months seven coordinators at one point. I'm just saying,
kind of a lot.
They had seven at one point in a 12-month
span. I mean, two in one season is so rare. Right. Like, how often do you see two coordinators in a season? It's always that coach who gets fired, you know?
It's pretty astounding. Just to be clear, because it was Steichen, and I'm not even counting Michael Clay thing. It was Steichen and
Gannon,
which became Johnson and
Patricia and Desai.
Then Patricia.
Yep.
And then because they got hired because they got bounced early in the playoffs, the prior year.
Vic and
year.
Kellen.
Yeah.
So it's eight. Seven. If you want to include Pitullo today, it's eight, which is nuts.
It's eight in 24 months.
It's nuts.
All right, Rhea, they got some right, they got some wrong. Do you trust Howie and Nick on this one?
Now, you and I disagree on this. I was never the biggest Kellen Moore fan. Mm-hmm. I thought, they obviously changed things up, when they got to 2-2. Wasn't really a Kellen Moore offense that we saw all year. So I think there was a lot of, the players went to Nick Sirianni to force them to go more run heavy. And to his credit, Kellen Moore did it. He changed his philosophy.
Yep.
So I'm okay with it. And listen, Jalen Hurts had a new coordinator last year and they won the Super Bowl.
That's right.
So, he's got a new coordinator. The sky is falling. Well, it didn't fall last year. And
no.
I think at this point, Jalen's what, in his fifth year, sixth year?
It'll be his sixth. It'll be his fifth as the full-time starter. It'll be his sixth year in pro football.
Let's be honest. It's Jalen Hurts' offense.
Yeah. No, I think
that's the way I feel about it. So I'm right now, the not having the play calling, that is absolutely a fair concern.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, so where do you stand on the Pitullo thing as the OC? And also, give us a notable replacement. We'll talk to Ruben Amaro in studio with us in about 15 minutes. Also, something Elliot said about the move to Pitullo. We'll get to that shortly. Steve in Pensauken. Steve, good morning, pal. Oh, Steve just somehow got zapped off. All right, Andy was with us earlier. His phone was a little crazy. Good morning, Andy.
All right, hopefully this is better.
Yes, it is.
All right, good morning. Apologies to WIP listeners around the world for shredding all your eardrums a few minutes ago.
No problem.
It's all right, I do it all the time.
inspired by being in our nation's capital today. My notable replacement, and this one is for you, Joe, John Adams.
John Adams is a very notable man. Number two president.
Yeah, yep. But especially because George Washington said our democracy can't survive if we count on one person.
Yeah. No, that's very true.
The idea of an elected leader. So
very
that's
true.
My pick.
Yep. Good answer. Great answer.
All righty. So before I get to football, I have an All-Star weekend take that's just, I actually think there's a way to salvage that weekend and make it more compelling. So number one, Saturday night, they should add a shot blocking competition where they have balls being fired from machines all over half court. And it's how many, you know, shots can you block in, say, a minute or 30 seconds?
Can you imagine watching Wemby do that?
Oh.
That's what I'm saying.
I got to tell you, Andy, it doesn't work for me.
It's
man.
Like whack-a-mole in the sky.
It is, yeah.
Now it doesn't get old
doesn't
quick.
Doesn't do it for me.
I think it's only fun if it's Wemby.
Yeah.
Well, hang on.
I mean, maybe. It's one and done. If you want to do it one time, then, you know, it's almost like the old Superstars thing and
it
you got obstacle courses. You know, one and done, maybe.
All right. Well, then hang up. But then don't be a hater yet because then I have a more meaningful solution for the actual game itself.
Okay.
Forget the game, the traditional 5-on-5 game. Here's what they should do. They should have a one-on-one format where guys are matched up by position, so guard against guard, forward against forward, center against center, and they're playing for their conference. And so they actually have to play. They can't go out there and dog it because they're on the court by themselves.
Well, here's the problem. The players wouldn't want to do it. And if you're saying to do like what baseball did 20 years ago, this one counts,
they don't want to get embarrassed one-on-one.
I mean, Andy, you got to remember this. There's only about 5 or 6 teams with a reasonable shot to win the title. You know what I'm saying? Like, again, number one, these guys don't want to do it. Number two, I mean, what does the guy with the 8 seed, what does he really care if the Boston Celtics, you know, have home court advantage in the finals or not? He doesn't care. He's the 8 seed guy. Yeah, I'm giving you two. I'm giving you two thumbs down. Unfortunately.
All right. You know what? Then I'm going to stick to football.
All right. Give me a quick Eagles point. What do you got?
The Petullo take. I mean, listen. I don't know if this guy's good at his job or bad at his job, but there's no way they would have bumped him up if they didn't think Jalen was cool with it, and they didn't know that this guy is going to be able to figure out how to take what has worked about the offense so far, which presumably he knows and understands. And then I like that they hired this kid from the Dolphins who's hopefully going to bring in some new wrinkles. So
you know, I'll frame it a little different, Andy, than what you said on Cool With It. I think the better way to put it is that they think he's the person to get the most out of Jalen. I mean, that's where I got enough faith in Howie and Nick. I don't think they hire someone because they think Jalen's, quote, cool with it. I think they hire someone because they think this person will get the most out of Jalen Hurts.
And there's continuity there. They've been together
that
for
is part of
a couple
it.
Of years.
Yeah. And that should be the standard. I mean, it really should be, Andy. All right, my man, give me an answer, a notable replacement.
I already gave you John Adams.
Oh, John Adams. I apologize. Yeah, he went out of order, and that confused me. Good stuff. All right, so let me give you what Elliot put up yesterday on Twitter when the Petullo news came out. He said, some thoughts. This is Elliot Sherparks. Some thoughts on the Eagles' decision to hire Kevin Petullo as their offensive coordinator. I do not like the idea of promoting from within. It didn't work in 2018. It didn't work in 2023. I think there needs to be new eyes on the offense to keep from getting stale, and that doesn't happen from promoting from within. That has nothing to do with Petullo as a coach. I just think this was a chance to hire from the outside of the building and get fresh ideas. That being said, I have been impressed in the times Petullo has talked. I can see why the Eagles would want to keep him in the building, especially why Sirianni would want to keep him. If Sirianni wanted him, I think that should matter. Petullo has never called plays at the NFL level. That isn't the end of the world, as Sirianni and Hurts are very involved in the play calling, but it is noteworthy. The key for Petullo will be, what new ideas does he bring? He's been in the building. It's hard to imagine he has new ideas that weren't implemented. Okay, interesting perspective from Elliot. He'll join us later in the show to discuss that further.